Welcome to Girls in Heels. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, with my co-host Teresa Apria and Nicole Napolitano. We're having a terrible time finding music, but I think maybe I found something that you guys will like.
Yes.
Numbers too big.
Didn't somebody request this?
I did. This is my song, and I love it. But I have to tell you, the one that I also have besides the Helen Reddy
on your
one,
iPod, yeah,
on my iPod is the Sex and the City version with Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker and all the girls singing from Sex and the City.
Oh,
it is
It's from
awesome.
The movie. It's great.
It's from the movie. Like, it's empowering. I love
it. Girls.
Nicole, you got to bring that. I forgot all about that one. That's the version we should be using.
That is the version, baby. Yes.
Yeah, for Girls in Heels. I mean, those were Girls in Heels.
Those were Girls in Heels. Come
Please.
On. Sarah Jessica Parker.
She brought Manolas to the table. She put them on the map.
Totally. They gave birth to us. There's no question.
And Cosmos.
Yeah.
Cosmos. Manolas.
Yeah. She rocks. She rocks.
She's hot.
Her.
She is looking really good, by the way.
All right. So let me find that song and maybe next week.
Okay.
I'm too lazy to look right now.
Have you seen her? She was just on the cover. Was it Cosmo? She was on one
SJP?
Of the covers.
Yeah,
she looks incredible.
And shocker though, she had a little bit of boobage out. I thought maybe they were a little enhanced. Have you seen her?
She did.
I know. It looks like a little bit of a lift, but whatever she
does
is fine.
You
know,
it's
great. You think it's just a good bra.
Honey, okay, that is not a bra. That is not
we
enhanced.
We don't know.
They look incredible.
Whatever she's doing,
she looks great.
Yeah,
her boobage
she does look
is looking good.
My boyfriend does photography, and he got sent on to do a red carpet for some event at, like, it was like the Irish Rep or something like that, and she was there. So he photographed the heck out of her. Every single photograph. Not only is she amazingly, like, photogenic that she looks great in every single picture, but she's still gorgeous. He has this one picture of her where she's moving her hair away, and the look in her face is so, like, it's so glamour.
Mm-hmm. She knows how to photograph, too.
Yeah.
I must say, like, just like the way she looks and turns, and she has it going on. She really does.
It must be hard for her though now, because people know her as Carrie Bradshaw. I'm sure most people don't see her as Sarah Jessica Parker. You know what I mean? She must go places. Mm-hmm. People probably yell out, "Where's Mr.
Carrie?
Big?"
Yeah, totally.
She must hear that all the time.
I that's true. Kind of.
I think that show was so awesome though. I loved it.
Are you rewatching it because it's in reruns now, like on E?
No,
and then Home.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm going to tape them. I love them. I have to watch them now. She's really good friends with Andy Cohen.
Sarah Jessica Parker is?
Very close.
I could see that.
They are very close. Like, they're together a lot in the Hamptons and the city. They're very good friends.
He's so fascinating. The fact that he went from being a producer or a casting director, whatever he was, and he was like one of the people who was running Bravo, and now he's like the big star, and he's the one that decided that Real Housewives was a good idea. He's
Absolutely.
Friends with all you guys, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's awesome. He's a lot of fun, and he's very close with the Housewives. Yeah,
He's the big wig.
He's the big wig, yeah.
He was president, I believe, of Bravo. And then I believe
president, that's it.
He
I knew
stepped
he had,
down
CEO,
to do Watch What Happens
CFO,
Live.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he really wanted to focus on that.
Because he wanted to be on camera.
He's great.
He is great.
Watch What Happens Live really has taken off, though. I mean, they have some great guest appearances.
I know. I mean, he's had Lady Gaga and Oprah.
I know.
He has had you guys, of course, which is the most important. But the fact that
Jennifer Lopez. Everyone. I mean, the cast from Downton Abbey, he has everyone.
It's crazy what he's made that show into. Yeah, it's one of
my
favorites, I agree. And I follow his dog on Instagram.
Oh,
love
so
his dog.
Cute.
That little beagle that he rescued.
Yeah,
it's a cute,
so cute.
Oh, my God, I love that little doggy.
Rescue baby.
So great. Okay, so today we have a lot to talk about. Because we're girls in heels, I just want to say that I'm wearing Yves Saint Laurent today. Very important that we let everyone know what shoes we wore. Because last week we didn't, and we started getting emails from people that were like, what's on your feet, girls? It's called Girls in Heels, and you didn't tell us. So I am in my favorite Yves Saint Laurent. This is so funny. When I bought them, my best friend's son, who was like 8 at the time, who was already gay, like he didn't know what gay was, you know what I mean? Like he didn't really understand yet. But we were at Saks, that shoe floor, Saks Fifth Avenue.
Love
he
it.
Picked them out. He was like, "These are classic." So
I
was
it.
Like, I think he's right. So I went to the sales guy and they're like, "Yep, he's right. Those are the classics."
He's 8 years old?
8 years old. Well, now he's 12. But when he was 8, he picked out these black Yves Saint Laurent. I bought them that day.
Nice.
And he's right. I wear them all the time because they're classics.
Yeah. I'm taking it with me next time shopping.
So what are you wearing on your feet, Teresa?
What I am? Oh, my gosh. Nicole and I were at Bergdorf's the other day.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah, Giuseppe Zanotti's adorable little fringe booties tie up. Brown and black suede, and I absolutely love them.
They're so
and
cute.
And they are gorgeous. A little fringe around the ankle, tie up front. But what I love about them is they look great with a pair of either just denim shorts, a pair of jeans. It could go right into the fall or winter. It's kind of an all year kind
so
of.
Versatile.
That's what I love about booties. I have to say, especially when they're open, you could wear them right through the fall, right through October, November. So
I don't know if it's the color or the fringe, but it doesn't cut off your leg. Like it extends your leg somehow, which is I don't know how that's possible.
And fringes are so
how does it
big.
Extend this little leg of mine? But it does. Yeah, so
fringes are very big this season.
Huge,
okay, wait,
huge.
Nicole, what's on your feet right now?
Oh my gosh, Christian Louboutin. Python. Actually purchased them that day at Bergdorf with my sister after a few cocktails at Casa Leva. We should not go shoe shopping.
No.
After we have lunch and a few cocktails. I'm sorry. We just come home with too many pairs. So, yeah, and they're called Inferno.
Your shoes have a name?
Yes, Inferno.
Because it's a beautiful turquoise and yellow python.
Turquoise, yellow,
a beautiful
black,
pattern.
Open toe. Yeah.
Let me
yeah.
see. Oh, they're beautiful.
Python, aren't they amazing? They're so sexy in the color. I just love that turquoise. For the summertime.
It really works on you. Like if I saw
Thank
that
you.
Shoe, I wouldn't think I need this shoe, but the way you're wearing it, I need to have those immediately.
It's seriously a piece of art. It really is.
I know. I love when men appreciate my shoes too. Like I've worn them one other time this
not
week.
Just and us so, girls?
Not just us girls. I love when I'm walking and a guy who's not, I mean, of course, like gay guys love my shoes. Gay guys love shoes.
Right.
But when a guy's like, oh my gosh.
Because they have great style.
They do have great style, I swear. But just like people stop me and say, oh my gosh, that shoe looks amazing on your foot. Like, love it.
Right. But we are dangerous together. You're right.
We are dangerous.
We go to Casa Leva. We have a few martinis or gimlets. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Nicole, we go shopping. It's like,
oh,
you have
so
to have those.
You.
Those look so good on you.
Oh, those look so great.
And
oh,
I want her to buy all of them because we share shoes. And then she looks at me and goes, oh, no, well, you have
oh,
to
no.
have these.
Those
you
look so
these.
Good on you.
Wait,
yeah.
here's my favorite thing. And then you guys, what if, I think, Nicole, you texted me later that day. Weren't you at Home Goods? Home Goods,
oh,
right?
Yes, yes. I said, Cooper, it's all about balance, baby.
I'm like, wait a minute, so you were at Bergdorf's this morning and now you're at Home Goods?
Yes, yes.
Marshall's gotta have a balance.
You have, it's all about balance, baby. The way I eat, the way I shop, definitely.
Okay, so I've been waiting for days to tell you guys about this story that I read that I was fascinated by, and now I want to know, as moms, how you feel about this.
Okay.
So there's this woman in Maine who owns a diner. It's her diner. Her name is on the diner, okay? So it's not a corporation. She doesn't work for, it's not a Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. Mom and pop.
It's a mom and pop shop, and she's the mom, you know, and so, okay, so she's, it's Maine, and it's an area where there's, it's the summer, so everybody's there and people are waiting in long lines because she does a really good brunch. And this family comes in. It's a mom and a dad and a two-year-old. And the two-year-old starts crying the minute the kid walks in. And the parents really weren't doing very much to quiet the kid. They made like a couple of little like, you know, shh, calm down. And then kept on with their conversation. And the woman who owns the diner went berserk and turned around and said, that's enough. I've had it. You need to shut that kid up. Like, this is not fair to everybody else. You've been here. You have your pancakes. Like, you're ruining people's brunch. Like, this is my livelihood. Shut the kid up. And they were like, don't talk to my toddler that way. So they started fighting with her. And finally, she kicked them out.
Whoa.
She kicked them out and people were applauding. Okay. But since then, on Facebook, the mom went home and on Facebook tore this restaurant owner apart and said, like, how dare she? I'm a customer. You know, maybe she doesn't have kids and doesn't understand it and all this stuff. And then other people were like, no, my kids are well behaved. Or I left my kids at home because I wanted to enjoy brunch.
Enjoy brunch. You know what? It's all about the deliverance. It's how that owner went over to the parents and approached them. Again, deliverance. I think some parents now these days do not know how to discipline their children. I think it's out of control if a kid will not stop crying at a table and throwing a tantrum. So therefore, the parents should have gotten up, brought the child outside, and disciplined their child and said, listen, you know, we're in a restaurant here. We're eating. You must stop crying now. It's not, I don't think any parent should allow a child for a half hour, 40 minutes to continue throwing a tantrum at a table. And yes, I believe it is, and I'm a parent, unfair to other people in the restaurant to be subjected to that. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if it's a few minutes and a child throwing a tantrum, but to carry on and carry on and disrupt everyone's breakfast and parents just go on, la-di-da, la-di-da, it's unacceptable. I get crazy sometimes when I see my friends not discipline their children and let these kids get away with it and just carry on at a table. It's unacceptable.
Do you say anything to your friend? Or you just, because you really can't. You can't parent somebody else's kid. Like,
no,
what
I
do.
Oh, you do.
She does.
I do.
Nicole,
you know, I'm one of those parents that
Nicole does.
I was always one of those parents, like if I was at a park and if a parent wasn't disciplining their child and if a kid was bullying another kid or pushing a kid off a swing or something like that or being mean, I would open up my mouth. I would have to say something.
Right.
So I do. I think these kids, my kids, if they would ever throw a tantrum, I would say, come on, we're going outside. You stand over there in the corner, turn around. When you're done throwing your tantrum, then we'll go back inside.
Yeah, I have zero tolerance.
It's like spare the rod, spoil the child. Right. These kids need to be disciplined now these days, and they're out of control.
But and when you're, oh, sorry, Nicole, yeah. when your kids, when they did throw tantrums, did you, so you left restaurants, like you were willing to get up and go. You didn't try to discipline them in the restaurant.
I would not leave the restaurant. I would go outside. I would discipline my child and say, we are not going back in there until you stop crying. Because it is unfair.
Right.
You know, if you're on an airplane, it's a little difficult, which I've been in that situation. You know, you really can't go too far. But if you're in a restaurant, take your child outside. Have a talk with them. It's unacceptable. You know, kids are going to do what they want to do if they're not disciplined.
Yeah, they'll try to rule the roost.
Now, Teresa,
but I do feel as though the restaurant owner was wrong for responding that way, only because I am in the restaurant business. So I am a restaurant owner, and it is a family-owned business. And I've had lots of children. I happen to love children. They are my life. I have a lot of patience for kids.
Well, mm-hmm. I know, but it's about the deliverance.
I agree. Get out of the restaurant. But what I'm saying is if that was in my restaurant, a child's acting totally out of control, I would probably be the type to take the kid and be like, okay, sweetie, I'm a mom at L. That I have more patience for children. I love children. I love animals. And I love all people. The in-between stage, them I have no patience for. You know what I mean?
Teresa, if someone is at your restaurant and their kid is misbehaving, are you like, I'll take care of them? Let me take your kid.
I probably would.
If I saw that
the parents were not obviously responding very well
right.
and weren't handling the situation correctly, and it was my restaurant, because I do want everyone who's there, all of my customers and patrons, to have a great experience in my restaurant, I probably would go over and say, come on, sweetie, you know what, would you mind? Come on, I'll take her or him, and we'll go walk in the kitchen, or I'll go show you, or we'll take a walk outside. And, you know, as long as the parents were okay with it, I would probably help them out in a sense. I would never respond to a patron, a customer, and say, like, get out, or be
so
rude like that. Because to me, you know, I want everyone to have a great experience. I think, like you said, Nicole, you on the other hand have no tolerance for it. That to me is like, I know you have to take control of your kids, and I understand your point of view. But as a restaurant owner, I feel as the way she responded was completely wrong.
How should she have handled it?
Basically, hey, you know, to go over and say, excuse me, but, you know, your child, it's very disruptive to the restaurant.
Maybe
you could take her outside for a little bit and
calm your child down
and then come back. I would greatly appreciate it. But it's really disrupting, you know, my place of business. And then, you know, then it depends how the parents would have responded to that. I think she could have handled it more diplomatically. And I do feel as though, but then on the other hand, maybe she was just having a bad day. I'm not one to judge and let's throw the hammer at the lady and destroy her business and say,
I mean, Teresa, think about it. You've had days that your place is packed.
You. Right.
It's busy. Everyone's on you and people are like complaining about stupid stuff. It's like, you know, I wanted this medium well. This looks like it's medium, you know, and it's like stupid stuff. And you're just like at your wit's end and there's a baby crying. And the parent is doing nothing about it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So that, really, I mean, me, I mean, come on. I know me and I know the moods I can be in as good as I am, is as bad as I am. And I could imagine, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I kind of.
But the customer's always right.
The customer's always right, but I could
no
almost
matter
understand.
What,
Nicole,
the
I could.
Is always right.
I am the best with my customers. I am so good. But I know what Cooper's saying. You're having a bad day. You say something could have gone wrong. God knows what she went through that day. I don't know.
Well,
who
has
knows?
Reno ever kicked anyone out of his restaurant?
Oh, God.
Have you heard some stories of him coming home and losing it?
Oh, he's lost with people, but adults, never a child. But I could understand maybe saying, oh, my God. I could actually, and I love kids, and I could probably wind up saying, oh, my God, like the 7 baby. You know what I mean? Like, you know, most of the time I do have patience, but I could see where she's coming from. Maybe she was just having a bad day. And if the kid is screaming, it could get under somebody's skin.
I think what probably happened is parents were having a bad day. This woman was having a bad day. Two people having a bad day at the same time.
Not good.
Nobody was looking to be patient with anybody else. So I think that's probably why the clash happened. But I'm kind of curious, like, so what precipitated Reno kicking somebody out of the restaurant? Like, what do you have to do at one of Reno's restaurants to get kicked out?
That's what I'm thinking. He really doesn't kick anybody out. I'm trying to think. I'm going to have to ask him that when I see him.
Like somebody too drunk? Or somebody hitting on a waitress?
You know what?
Waitress?
Maybe just...
Well, he only has men as waiters, and he has...
No,
the bartender,
Lisa,
yes.
Yeah, he has a lot
okay.
of...
I think if someone... Didn't someone speak disrespectfully to the bartender once and he got upset about that?
My bartender, Lisa, I think one of the men maybe had spoken disrespectfully to her or was very abrupt with her. And I think maybe my husband said, you know, speak nicely or, you know... He's so old-fashioned like that, Reno. He's, you know, always... the protector, you know?
Right.
So I guess that pissed him off. And I guess if somebody gets I'm trying to think, maybe if there's been scenarios where someone was too drunk and if they got a little loud, he'd be like, simmer down. And I think maybe once someone got crazy and, yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think there was almost an argument once and he's like, out. Reno, which understandably, no one is going to argue in a restaurant, so he just got
right.
rid of them.
I think his sister was there that night, too.
Yeah.
There was an argument.
But most of the time, we have great customers. I have to say, like, we have great customers. And even our customers that have babies, they're awesome. Like, they come in, and today I have to be, seriously, these kids have iPads today.
Right.
They have these
There's
little
no reason.
Television
yeah.
things.
You know, we had 2 crayons when we went out.
Right? Give us a crayon, and that's what we had. Exactly. These
Tic-tac-toe.
Kids today are watching, like, movies. So there is no reason for a kid to even, like, overreact today. They have so much going on and so much in front of them that...
Really, iPods? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
we
that's true.
That.
Like, if your kid's reacting like that in a restaurant, that just means you didn't bring any technology with you whatsoever.
You know, I have to tell you though, that's one thing I did not do. I did not give into that, and I'm so happy.
Hold on. Was there that much technology?
Well, we had those
15 years ago.
We had little Nintendos.
When your kids were little,
they had we had Nintendos. We had the games, and
not little movies, not the iPads.
No, but they had the Game Boy.
We had little movies, but we had Game Boys. We had Nintendos, and I would not let the boys bring those out to dinner.
I agree.
No way. I want them to be a little bit creative. I would bring always like a coloring book, crayons. I don't care how.
Tic-tac-toe. We played with our kids.
Exactly.
Right? We spoke to them. Or even just teach kids.
Just conversation.
They're so overstimulated today.
Right.
You know, everyone has different parenting skills. And it's fine with me. But I just, if there's one thing I can't stand, and I just adore and love kids. They're like my life. Kids make me happy when I see them. But I cannot stand a bratty kid. And
right.
I can't stand a spoiled kid or a kid that is just, like, ungrateful and will sit there and throw a tantrum. No. You know what? You got to discipline today. You know, kids have to know that we're the adults they're the children, and that's the way we're going to roll. And, you know.
But not all parents think like you. I think one of the issues that happened in this restaurant was the fact that the parents were just like, oh, he's just expressing himself.
Oh, he's expressing, right. Like when we went, you know, with our, you know, godson, I want hot chocolate. I want hot chocolate. I want hot chocolate. I want hot chocolate. One more time, I was like, why isn't my cousin saying,
right,
shush up.
Be patient. The waitress is coming over. Now sit down. No. 20 million times getting up, throwing a tantrum. And I was like,
I think it's instant gratification.
Instant gratification.
Grow up expecting instant gratification.
Right. That's right.
You know, they just want everything, snap of the fingers, we want it now. No, you have to work for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go out there and get what you want, not as though, and I've been guilty of it too. Only son, it's very different. You know, I was a single mom for 11 years, so it was me and my son, just the two of us. And I always said, oh, we're two peas in a far out pod, and me and him. Yeah, he was
so
like
my little. Yeah.
That's what I was like, and we are.
Got chills. That was so
cute. And I say, like, he's, you know, he was always my little guy, and we were, you know, I was always more of a free spirit with him, right, Nicole? And you were more disciplined, and we would come and go, and so I mean, he's not a spoiled kid; he's a good kid, a loving kid. But the instant gratification was kind of like, what do we want to do? Let's do it now. Let's go.
Right.
So, and you know. That was, you know, I was kind of at fault with that, too. But I think we have to just teach our kids, all right, patience, you know, and work for what you want. And not everything comes.
But I think it depends on the kids, too. I mean, you guys both have, like, really good kids. I mean,
I
have a girlfriend with a from the minute he was a baby, he was constantly crying, constantly fussing. Oh. He was just always one of these kids that was just a pain in the neck to be around. And I felt terrible for her because she didn't like it either. You know, she didn't like the fact that the kid was constantly crying and constantly upset. And it's the temperament of that kid.
Yeah.
So she knew that her kid was like that. So she didn't bring him out. She didn't, you know, and no, really, because you can't, if a kid is going to be.
Did he outgrow that? I mean, how old is he now?
Eventually outgrew it. Yeah. Now, I think he's in junior high school. How old are you in junior high school?
Teenager. Yeah. So junior.
Yeah.
13,
but I would say the first 12. 5 or 6 years of his life, it was tough going. She'd be like, do you guys want to come over? And we're like, well,
no,
who else is going to be there?
What time is his bedtime?
Yeah. Right. We'll be there at 10 p.m.
Yeah. We'll be there when the kid goes to sleep. No, but that's hard. That's hard for sometimes, you know, when you have friends that don't have kids and then you have kids. And sometimes you're at different stages,
right,
you know. And,
yeah.
And some people love kids. Some people don't want to be around kids. And there are kids who are great and the kids that are really pain in the asses that are just not enjoyable to be around. I guess like any human being, right? Some people are just fun to be around and some people you just don't want to be around.
It's funny because our friends, because we don't have kids. I never had kids. And
I
have Marconi. Yeah,
yes,
I have a 96-pound dog. So it's kind of like having, it's just like having children, except I don't have to send them to Harvard. But I feel like it's like my friends who have kids couldn't wait to get together with us on nights that the kids were like either with their grandparents or a babysitter or whatever. Like we were their release because we were the people who were not going to talk about children all night. They didn't have to talk about their children all night. We could talk about other adult things.
Absolutely.
You know? And they would say that to us all the time. And it never occurred to me that some of my friends that have kids probably stopped hanging out with me because I didn't have kids. Because they probably felt like she can't relate to anything I'm going through.
I have to say, like, I find that annoying when people just can't.
They have no identity once they have children.
That really bothered me. Like,
right.
When I had my son, I didn't care if he had kids or didn't have kids. Like, and till this day, it still bothers me. Like, my son is my life. But you need to have your own life. You know, you need to detach. And that, but like, till this day, Nicole and I will go out and we don't want to talk about children.
We'll be out with all the girls sometimes.
If we're out with a bunch of girls, whether you have kids or don't have kids, I don't want to talk about, oh, well, this is the school and this is what we're doing and lunchtime.
And this is what they're doing on the SATs and this and that.
There's a time and place. There's a time when you want to talk about kids, but guess what? When you're out with the girls, nobody wants to talk. I mean, we don't. We don't want to talk about kids. We want to have our own time, our own life.
Like, we're moms 24/7. And when we have our girl time, we want our girl time.
This is a really good example because, I mean, we never, unless I ask you specific questions about being a mom or your kids, like you guys never talk about children. It's funny because I was working on this project and a couple of the guys that were with us were like, what do women talk about? And I just said, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
He's like, what does everything mean? And I was like, well, We talk about what we read in the paper. We talk about shoes. We talk about what we had for lunch, what we're not going to eat for lunch. We talk about a friend that went down to the South and why they didn't like it. We talk about why people would ever wear elastic jeans, elastic waist. Like, it's just
when you're pregnant.
Nothing, right?
Everything. I know, right? Everything and anything.
Like, there's nothing that's off the table. Like, we just talk about everything.
Right.
And he was like, well, like, when we get together, we talk about sports and how that went, or we talk about something in the news and then the conversation's over. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never over with women when they're your friends. Like,
no, it just flows.
Yeah, you just, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, that's why it's so much fun. Like, even when we're just talking, like, we could just talk about anything. That's why it's so much fun even just to have even guest speakers. Like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? And you just bring up different topics. There's so much out there to just... What do they say, right? Like, men only say how many words a day, and women, it's like ridiculously, it's like it quadrupled, or like
more
from
than
thousands
that.
To 100. It's like crazy.
Yeah, what are we, it's something like 100,000 words
wish
a day.
I would, yeah.
Let me see. Wait, I'll look it up.
I'm telling you.
You have to look
yourself.
It up.
You got to Google
amazing.
It. Yeah, because we just talk so much. Like, that's why sometimes I say, oh gosh.
At
like,
the end of the day, we have no voice left.
I mean, look at me. I had to go to an ENT because my throat last year, my voice was so raspy. And it was
your nodules, yeah, because you didn't.
Yeah, thank God it was. They were fine, but he's like, you really talk
you need
a lot.
To give, you
he's
need
like, give,
to
yourself,
give yourself a rest, a break.
I've had that nodules because you talk too much.
Yes.
Yes, I've been there.
Yes.
He's
I'm
like,
Doc,
you?
Am I okay? Am I okay? Here I am. I was so nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are getting me nervous. And, you know, because you get scared, nodules or polyps or cancer. And
right.
He's like,
Jesus.
No, Teresa.
God,
he's like,
bad.
No. And I did it. And one of them actually, I had to get biopsied. Thank God it was okay. It was
right.
Fine. He goes, no, it's, but then he goes, Teresa, it's really because you talk a lot. And I realized that. Like, I was away last weekend and I was away upstate. And I go, sometimes I just, don't like people talk and I feel like I just want to respond. I just have to respond or I want to be talking all the time. And then I thought to myself, shut up once in a while. I actually had to tell myself in my own head, shut up. Like, stop talking.
Give
like,
someone else a chance.
No, I give
to
other
speak.
People a chance. I just sometimes like some people could just sit there in quiet. Like when I'm alone, I could sit there in just solitude and quiet. But
okay, now wait, now is it because that silence gives you anxiety? Like if people are just sitting, like if we decide right now to just not say anything.
No, I just feel like I want to talk.
Okay, let's try it.
Okay, let's try not to say anything.
Okay. Could you meditate?
You're bursting.
Could you? Do you ever meditate, Teresa?
I want to tell you, that's really hard for me. It
yes.
Really, it's challenging.
I saw, just now, I saw you like bursting. You were going crazy. Like Nicole was just like zen. I was just sitting there.
I saw your
face and you were like, I can't do this another second.
It's like I got headsets on. I'm looking at you two pretty girls. I
want
to talk.
So like going on a retreat and like meditate and like.
But don't you know me? I also have my time where I need to regroup. Like, I know when I'm going to be around a lot of people, I have my time where I will go home. I will just regroup, whether I just read, whether I watch
you
a movie.
You take a nap. You fall asleep.
But
you
I
don't have to talk
but
then.
But
that's
my
that's the
that's
only,
when.
That's the only time you don't talk is when you're sleeping, unless
yes.
You talk in your sleep.
You realize that. That's the only time when you regroup. You go home
I
and
would,
take a nap.
You know, my husband does tell me that sometimes. We talk. I go, no, I don't talk in my sleep. I would get in trouble if I talked in my sleep. I don't know what would come out of my mouth.
Okay, so for next vacation, we're going to, Nicole and I are going to chip in and we're gonna send you to stay with the monks and you're gonna take a vow of silence for that weekend.
Oh my gosh that just gave me palpitations.
See,
I can't think of not talking for a weekend.
The monks would call us an hour later and be like, come get her.
Get her.
Nicole, drive back over here.
She's being a major distraction. There's no more harm in
I'll have those monks drinking, smoking, cursing.
Okay, so I looked it up. University of Maryland, my alma mater,
ooh.
They're the ones that did the study, and they found that on average, women speak 20,000 words per day compared to men who only speak 7,000 words per day.
Look at that.
Wow. Three times more, right?
I know, three times. 60,000.
21,000. Oh, my gosh.
So, girls in heels, we guarantee you at least 60,000 words.
See that?
Woo!
Can you imagine if, like, we charge by the word?
Oh, gosh. Forget it. Oh, my gosh.
You would have a lot of Manolas.
I know. Picture if we had people calling in. We would just sit and talk to them like all day. We would be like, okay, let's
get this. And if we had women calling in, that's another 20,000 words.
Oh, gosh. Exactly. Oh, no. That's it. They're not allowed.
I think that would be great. I can't wait till we have some guest speakers. Bring some awesome people on.
Yeah?
To compliment. Yeah, I think that would be great.
Okay, we can maybe we'll do that for next week.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
I didn't plan that.
Or even do like maybe like some Q&A. I love when people call in and have them just, you know, we'll
like
pick
ask
a topic.
Us questions
and,
or ask
yeah.
you questions. Nobody wants to know anything about me. They'll ask you questions.
Absolutely.
No. Yes, they do. I want to know about you, Goober.
No, wait. Now, speaking of speaking, Teresa, well, we took a little break earlier, and you were talking about the article that you read. I didn't quite get it. You said there was a woman, and she was on a roof, and she was running through a party. I have no idea what that story is. Can you explain what you were talking about? Because it sounded fascinating, but it could be
no,
really
it was actually,
sad.
It was sad. It
no,
was sad.
Okay, what happened?
It was really
a 30-year-old.
Nicole and I were talking, a 30, we were, yeah, as we were driving in today to the city, or the other day, whatever. yeah, it was really sad. At a rooftop right on Fifth Avenue over here in Manhattan, a 30-year-old woman just took a nosedive to her death off of a rooftop lounge, a hot spot in the city. She just...
There was a corporate event going on.
There was a corporate event going on, and she
which,
just
Which, by
really,
the way, no one knows if she was at
I don't know
that
if she
corporate
was
event
at the corporate
or not,
event
just having
or
drinks
just
up there.
Having drinks, and she literally just did a Superman to her death. She just leaped over.
She ran right through the crowd.
She ran through the crowd, over the bushes, and just fell to her death. Like, stories. Yeah, hi. Which I just found so sad. Nicole and I were talking, and 30 years old, and suicide. And I was saying it's just, it's...
It's scary. Well, first off, suicide is just...
Crazy.
Second,
yeah.
I mean, these rooftops in the city, someone was saying it's so easy for people just, especially one guy who was there that night was saying that he was drinking and he had too much to drink and he was sitting on the ledge. And
oh,
that was dangerous.
It's very dangerous. He was saying, I had too much to drink and I was sitting there.
Why would he sit
God
on the
forbid,
ledge? Why
I would
he
have
do that?
Fallen off. He was drunk.
Right.
So therefore, you know, there's a
guy and
these,
he's a dumbass.
Right. You know, stop, Teresa. We love our men too, not all, but some. It's
I
very
do.
Dangerous.
Depends upon the
I mean,
day
there's a
I'm
lot
having.
Of rooftops in Manhattan, so it's something that people have to think about now.
It's
they
just
should
so
have security
sad,
there.
A 30-year-old
but getting back to yeah,
girl. I mean, she's a young.
But she purposely jumped.
She,
nobody, right? So they don't know whether she.
No,
was,
she purposely. She wasn't. She didn't just fall. She ran, and they said she
through the
catapulted
crowd.
Through the crowd Jeez. And did like a Superman, which is so sad because suicide today is like. It seems like everybody that I talk to knows somebody or someone
who committed suicide.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's what's so
touched
sad.
Everybody's lives.
And what's so yes. sad is that it touched, you know, even Nicole and I's life as well, you know, somebody that we knew and a good friend. And you never know. The sad thing is half the time you never know what that person's going through. And you think, like, the first thing when I read that article, I was saying, oh, wow, didn't anybody know what this girl was going through, could she have gotten any help? And to go to that depth of despair, to take your own life. And then I said to myself, obviously not, because we knew someone close to us and we had
he
no...
He was amazing.
He was always happy and he was actually someone that I met when I first started filming. He was a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And as crazy as it sounds, my husband at first thought it was nuts. I met him on social media.
Right.
And he was just fun.
He was a big Housewife fan.
He was a big Housewife fan. He was gay and he just really always just appreciated fashion and I don't know what it was.
But you have to tell the story how you connected with him.
I just connected
with
him.
And how we did think in the beginning, Teresa was crazy.
I mean, I don't... Until this day, no one ever said, you know, families are very closed and don't really share much. No one ever really admitted that he did take his life. So I really shouldn't even... I don't know.
It's okay because I
think
you...
As his friend, I really obviously just felt that. But, you know... You see people and you don't know what they're going through. They seem so happy and jolly, and that's the scary thing where most of the time they're the ones making the jokes
right.
and having a lot of fun. And yet inside, they're obviously, there's some sort
so
of torment
pain.
and such to the point of, I guess, depression. It's just.
But the thing is, everyone's been through depression or feeling blue. I guess there's different levels of depression. But the idea, see, I just, because I have a friend in high school who committed suicide, and the idea that you don't see the rest of your life as like things are ever going to get better. Like right now, everything that's going on, like the fact that they can't get out of that, like everything now is your whole life. And you can't think that, no, this will pass and I'll be fine. And the fact that they don't make that second leap, that they think the whole world is falling apart right now. Yeah, they see no hope whatsoever. I mean, we've all been through. I went through like a really hard time recently where I was just like feeling really crappy and whatever. But never in a million years was I thinking, and I'm going to kill myself. I thought, oh, can't wait till this bullshit's over.
Right. Yes, that's exactly. And that's what's so wild. Like you say, what is it, you know, in that person's thought process and brain to make them not have even a little bit of hope? And what's so sad is, and this one person that I'm relating to now, like, and even, you know, somebody that you had known had so much love around them and people that really, really loved them. Mm. And that's what's so bizarre to me, you know?
No, wait, Teresa, had this guy reached out to you at any point? Like, did he?
Not at all.
He never ever said, like, you give me hope or I'm feeling terrible.
And you know what it is? And that's what I felt so, I mean, I have to say, it takes me a lot to cry. It takes me a lot. And I just cried and cried and cried for days because I felt.
And Teresa never cries.
Mm. No, I it takes me a lot. It takes me a lot. And I cried for days. And it affected me probably like nothing else has affected me because I didn't. I'm so aware and I'm always there to help people. And I'm always, you know, my friends always say, you're the glue. You keep us all together and you're the rock and you're the strong one. And yet I love and I love hard and I take care. I'm a caretaker of the people that I care about. Mm. And yet for him, he reached out to me when people thought I was nuts. And we went Christmas shopping even before the show came out. And we went Christmas shopping together and we got really close. And he was just a
But
love.
His parents said what was so beautiful. The last year of his life, you made him so happy, they said. And here was Teresa, who didn't know this guy from Adam, but developed a friendship, and she brought me into it, and he truly loved us. I mean,
you guys are really into reaching out to your fans and reaching out to people. It's amazing. I mean, every time I talk to you, there's some story about like some young kid who's reached out to you.
Little Abigail
in
Vegas, who last year had a major big brain tumor, and she was in the hospital, and I went out to Vegas when she came home, and I went to go visit her, and we talk every single day on the phone. And thank God she's doing great today, but she still has a lot of challenges that she's going through and she's still on a lot of medication, but she's getting there. But we talk every day on the phone.
What is that about you guys that you feel the need to? Because it's one thing to stay in touch and just to email. You really go out of your way for people that really, you didn't grow up with them. They're not really your friends. You make them your friends.
You know what I have to say? If there's one thing that I feel that we've been so blessed with, and I thank my parents, we truly have. Like, our hearts are in the right place. Mm-hmm. And I say that with all, you know, humility, not in any proud sense, but we love. We really love. And I really feel like in today's world, I want to make a difference. Right. You know, I want to empower people. I want to, you know, I want to help young kids today. You know, the whole bullying thing drives me crazy. You know, that I was, and my friend Mikey, who passed away, we were going to be working on that. He worked in a high school, and that's another thing I felt so bad about. We were going to be working on an anti-bullying campaign and starting that and traveling. So I feel like there's so much I want to do. I feel like there are certain people in life, I feel like God has given each and every one of us a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not a purpose, and yet He's given us certain gifts.
Right.
And I feel like everyone has certain gifts. They're all each very different, but all very unique and all very special. I feel like that's my gift, that, you know, we have compassion, we have empathy. You know?
If you can make that person
and
feel more loved at the end of the day.
And if you could change somebody's life and make somebody's life better, I feel so blessed where I'm to a point where I feel like I'm blessed, but for a reason where I want to be a blessing to others.
It's the butterfly effect. Yeah. If we could change someone's life and make them feel better, it just carries on and it just...
Yeah.
The butterfly effect.
Right.
Yeah.
So we really
but
do care.
But you guys are really unique like that because, for years of being in radio, of course, especially, you know, when you're in radio and you talk to people every single night or every single day, you know, when I was at PLJ and the mornings, like there were people there that would every morning listen to the show and I would connect with them. And there are people that, like, I would see them at events and we would chat or we'd email or text or whatever. If they needed anything, I was happy to help them. But I can't say I ever, like, went out of my way, like, got on a plane and went somewhere or went to their events, or I was willing to promote their events. And, you know, I went to a couple of things that I could, but, like, with the station. You two really give of yourselves as if your lives aren't busy enough. Like,
thank
that's, I'm sometimes, really amazed by
thank
that.
You. Thank you. Sometimes thank I am you. Exhausted and we give a lot of people our phone number too, especially the young ones,
and they
FaceTime us like 10 times a day. And sometimes we're exhausted. And well, Teresa and I will be driving. We'll be like, okay, let's take the call for 2 minutes. Not 2 minutes, just to see the smile on that child's face.
Mm. And some of our friends think it's nuts. They're like, oh gosh, you know, this one's FaceTiming you again. I said, you don't understand. For even 30 seconds to make a difference.
Right.
And if we could use this platform that God has given us, for the good and to help others, then to me, it's all worth it.
And for kids, I can see, like, because you guys are both really good parents. Like, aside from being really good friends and good people, you're also really good parents. And that's not true for everybody. So
thank
imagine
you.
If you're, like, a little girl and you don't connect with your mom and or there's lots of brothers around. Mm-hmm. I could see reaching out to one of you or both of you and asking you the kind of questions that I wouldn't, because you're like a good big sister as well.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank
so
you.
I could see reaching out to you guys. But the fact that I see why they want to, the fact that you guys are willing to be there is what I'm saying is really amazing.
Thank
because,
you. I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you.
Acknowledging that.
Yeah,
thank
no,
you.
It's incredible.
And that's why I say everyone has different gifts. So maybe that may not be maybe your strong point with certain other things, and then you're strong and have many other gifts that we don't have.
I don't have any gifts.
Yes, you do.
I don't have any.
I'm
good with people up to a point. I don't put myself out as much as you two do. I'm happy to help as much as I can, but as much as I can, which is a lot less than you guys.
Well, now that we've been spending
a lot
of time
together. Well, you're not a cold-hearted bitch. I swear you're not, everybody. She's not.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to this. There was this guy. He's a neuroscientist, and he was talking about, he's a brilliant guy, and he was talking about this study that he was working on where he was looking at the brains of psychopaths, and he was determining, like,
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Like, what part of the brain is different in a psychopath or a serial killer than in the rest of us? So he started working with the FBI, and they started bringing him brain scans of serial killers because they're trying to figure out, like, can you predict a serial killer? You know, somebody about to happen,
right.
You know? Because if we can do that before they start killing, fantastic, right? So that's a study he's working on. He gets done with that. Then he starts working on another study predicting Alzheimer's, where you look at the brain and you could see what part of the brain, you know, is going to predict that the person could get Alzheimer's. So he thought, well, this is great. I'm going to bring my whole family in and I'm going to have all their brains scanned. That way I want to make sure that if anybody has the beginning of Alzheimer's, because we have that in our family.
Oh, yes. Okay. I thought of psychopaths. No, okay.
Well, here's what happened.
Any psychopath.
Which I thought was even smarter. But he was looking for Alzheimer's, right?
Wow.
So he does the brain scans of his whole family, and he's looking through, and he comes up with this one brain scan that's the brain scan of a psychopath, of a serial killer. And he's like,
holy mackerel.
How did this get in here? Like, he just figured he misplaced it.
Yeah.
And he looks at the name on it, and it was him.
Oh! Is this true?
It's 100% true. Yeah.
Whoa.
100% true. It's a fascinating story. So he's got the brain for it. So he said to his wife, who he'd known since they were teenagers, you know,
admit me.
Like, he said, like, do I have no affect? Am I weird in social situations? She was like, yeah, totally.
Wow.
But I didn't realize you didn't know that.
He wasn't, didn't even realize it.
He's like, so I have no empathy when people say things. She's like, no, you don't. And all your friends know you don't. But we love you anyway.
You're totally disempathized.
No, because they say that you can teach compassion, but you cannot teach a person empathy. You can't teach someone how to be empathetic.
Right.
You can teach compassion to a child, but if a child's not empathetic, then it's just not in them.
So I'm 100% sure if I looked at your brain scans, there would be no, like, it would be one big thing of empathy. You know,
you know what? That's
but I
amazing.
Worry that if we did all three of us, I worry that there would be one.
There would be one.
Or there might be a little, you know, like, let's worry a little. And that could possibly be me.
Wow.
Because when I think about how much you guys do for people, I admire that and I envy it. But I don't want to do it.
You don't want to.
You don't want to.
I don't want to do it.
You know what? And that's all good. I kind of feel like the Wizard of Oz right now. Like, I have a heart.
You have a brain.
Your brain's probably a lot stronger than mine.
And I'm Dorothy's feet. I've got the good shoes. We all have good shoes.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That is. But getting back to...
Oh, I love that. The little red shoes. But yes. Sweetheart, you always had the power within you. I love that.
Oh, it is a real moral story.
But it really is. But you know what? Like, that guy, that doctor, that is just so wild to me. And that Dr. Amen, too, he does a lot with ADD.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. I taped it the other day on Channel 13. I go, this guy is fucking amazing. He's just awesome. And I wanted to show my son. They showed about 6 or 7 different brain scans. And it really shows there are kids that seriously, like, I think I'm a little ADD, never took any medication for it. I think my whole family basically is. I was always kind of against it because I'm kind of like, you know what, to me, I'd rather my son be a BC student without medication.
Right.
That was just my opinion. Then an A on medication, you know?
Right.
So who cares? You know, like, I did it. You know, he is what he is and I am what I am. But to each his own. But it's wild because they actually showed how you can see there were certain brains of even kids with ADD, certain kids that were even prone to certain things in their brain that were arrested as they got older. Made bad decisions, and they were showing, as crazy as it sounds, which we kind of know, how diets can change the brain. You have to see it. I'll see if I could send it to you or find a link. It was wild.
It's on PBS?
Well, yeah.
Definitely. They say
Dr. Amen. Dr. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That.
And
what
I love it. I wanted
ADD.
To go. No, but listen. Kraft, I wanted to go.
Cheese,
no, but listen.
ADD.
I'm with you,
preservatives,
Nicole.
Preservatives.
I am with you. I think the food that
the
we
food.
Eat and everything that's in it, that, see, when people say, you know, oh, this rise in autism and ADD and all that stuff, I feel like, how is it not our food supply? Because all the stuff, all the chemicals that
it's the chemicals.
Eating. Exactly. That makes more sense to me.
And it's all the dyes in the food. The orange dye,
the
red
dye. But he's also Dr. Amen.
But they do say,
you know what? You can go to his clinic. Let's all go to his clinic. And that's another thing.
Let's have him on the show.
Oh, my God. Let's have him. He's amazing. And so I told my mom, I'm like, oh,
so we can go to his clinic.
It's like, no joke, a few $1,000, you could seriously, like,
he's
a little pricey. We could
scan our brain?
No, yeah, you could scan your brain and you could see exactly where it's at.
Teresa, I want to do that because Grandma and Greg and Nona, they all had dementia. They had Alzheimer's.
Oh,
they were the
no.
most, they were sharp as a tack. They were amazing. And then once they started getting in their 80s and seeing Grandma forget things, it was very difficult to watch. It's so sad. So, and they do say it's hereditary, but after watching these shows and seeing these studies,
this stuff you can
actually
do.
Can prevent, they
but
say,
you know what's sad to me? You see so
dementia
much of this
and
stuff,
Alzheimer's.
And what really is a little upsetting to me is that, oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff you could do, but there are certain things that cost money today to do it. And that's what upsets me. It's like, oh, okay, well, you can go get some chelation and, you know, go get some IVs and get all the metals and toxins out of your body. Well, hello.
But you could also stop eating gluten, Teresa, and stop eating the white starches that they also say causes Alzheimer and dementia.
Okay, so we're going to go to this center.
Eat.
You're going to take a
Let's
vow of silence,
go.
Teresa.
Okay.
And Nicole and I are going to work on, well, your diet's already perfect, so you don't have to work on anything.
Balance.
But balance,
exactly. Yes. Balance.
All right, well, we have come to the end of our podcast today. Thank you guys so much for listening to Girls in Heels. We love you.
I love you.
Wear good shoes this week, and we'll see you next week.
Yay.